1 John, 1 John, however you want to say it, chapter 1, verse 1 says this, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. On July 4th of 1776, there were 56 delegates of the Continental Congress came together from the 13 colonies and eventually all signed a pronouncement stating the intent of the United States to break free from the bonds of Great Britain. This incredible document became known as the Declaration of Independence. As we read this message tonight of John, I want to talk about the Declaration of the Word of Life. That was indeed this document went in the course of human history or of human events. It becomes necessary and it goes on. We hold these truths to be self-evident. This declaration goes on. And that is indeed a tremendous and wonderful declaration. But I think in this little epistle that John writes here, we find a declaration of infinite more grandeur and infinite more importance. It is a declaration of the Word of Life. I'm interested in that little phrase at the end of verse 1, the Word of Life. And I want to declare to you, as God enables us together this evening, I want to make a declaration of that Word of Life this evening. The Apostle makes a loud and clear pronouncement of his personal and familiar knowledge with the very message of God. I hope as we read 1 John 1, that which was from the beginning, I hope it stirred something up in your mind, a memory of some other words that were penned by this same man. I'm going to ask you to turn with me to John, the Gospel according to John, chapter number 1. I just want to draw a quick analogy here between that which John wrote in his gospel account and that which was written here in this little epistle of 1 John or 1 John. John chapter 1. It's a little bit confusing maybe, 1 John 1 and John 1, but in the gospel according to John chapter 1 verse 1 it says, "In the beginning was the Word." There it is, that Word of Life with a capital W. Do you notice that? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. In that Word was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. And down in verse number 14 it says, "And the Word," that Word of life, "and the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." We find John here writing in John 1:1. And then in 1 John 1:1, he talks about in the beginning was the Word. What a glorious opening declaration that this is. Dear friends, I don't know how we could ever try to measure the risk that was taken by those men that signed that Declaration of Independence, nor what it meant, nor the price of blood that was shed because of that declaration. And though it brought about, eventually led to freedom, It was a costly document. Yet I want to say to you that this declaration that John makes was a declaration that was sealed in the very blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It has brought about freedom, but it came at a great cost. It is a declaration that the Word became flesh and the Word dwelt among us and we beheld His glory. That this very Word of life is by whom we have eternal life. John, in this writing, you'll remember, I tried to, and if any of you kept those little handouts that I gave you, the thrust of 1 John is, how can I know that I have eternal life? And the only way you can know that is if you know the Word of life. The very person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You must know Him. John shares this declaration in his gospel and in this short epistle, in this text. He tells us, no matter what men may say, no matter what men may assert, we hold these truths to be self-evident and undeniable, that we have seen, we have heard, we have touched the very Word of life, the Lord Jesus Christ. Back in our text, he says in verse 2, we show unto you. In verse 3, we declare unto you. Verse 4, we write unto you. Verse 5, we declare unto you. I think that's a pretty clear and open declaration, don't you? We've said it, we've declared it, we write it. All of these things, John gives forth eyewitness testimony to the Word of life, the Lord Jesus Christ. How can I know that I have eternal life? Can you make an open declaration that you, though not with the natural body, through the eye of faith and the ear of faith, that you have seen and heard of the Word of life, the Lord Jesus Christ? My dear friends, there were, and I suppose as long as the Lord tarries, there will always be those that deny the veracity of this book. John was writing, and it's a little bit different, but it's not. If you'll follow me just a moment. Today we deal with agnosticism, we deal with atheism, we deal with those who say that there is no God, and others who say you cannot know definitively whether there is or is not a God. John's declaration blows that out of the water. He just flat says, I can tell you for a fact, I know. I've seen Him, I've heard Him, I've handled Him, I've touched Him. It's real, He's real, He is the Word of life. During the time of this writing, the Apostle John was dealing with not with agnostics, but he was dealing with what was called Gnostics. An agnostic says you cannot know. A Gnostic, G-N-O-S-T, a Gnostic claims to have great knowledge. And there were those during the time that John wrote this, there were those who claimed that they had great knowledge. A greater intimate knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of them who claimed to have a greater measure than even John had, who laid his head on the very bosom of Christ. Some of these Gnostics claimed that Jesus was not really a man, that he was only in the form of a man, that the Lord was more like an apparition, a phantom, a ghost, and if you tried to reach out and touch Him, that there would be no substance to it. While others suggested, some of these Gnostics suggested, that Jesus was a good man, but He was no more. He was not God, but He was a servant of God. There's nothing new under the sun, friends. We deal with much of that same heresy even today. Amen. We have men today who make such spurious claims. And to these empty assertions, those that said that you couldn't actually, there were some who actually said if you tried to reach out and touch Jesus, your hand would just reach right through Him. He was a spirit, that He was not real. John responds in his declaration by saying, let me tell you something, He was no ghost. Amen. He was no apparition. He was not just a good man. He was not just a prophet, but He was a real man, and He is the very God. Amen. I saw Him. I touched Him. I handled Him. This is my declaration of the Word of life. John asserts not only his humanity, but John in this opening here asserts his deity by putting Him in the beginning was the Word.
Amen.
He does it in his gospel account, and he does it in this epistle. He declares not just that Jesus was a man by saying you could reach out and handle him, you could touch him, but he was also God by saying in the beginning was the Word of life.
Amen.
He was there. So John, he blows these Gnostics out of the water. And the thing is, dear friends, we can take all the science, and we can take all the education, and we can take all the knowledge, and all of these things that the world offers, and debate with agnostics and atheists and all of these things. But if you don't come back and believe this book, nothing's going to change.
Amen.
This is the declaration and the manifestation of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Boy, I tell you, this full-time pastor is good. If you give me time to study, I get wild up. Just settle in. We're going to be here a while. I told you I got into 1 John and I've enjoyed this.
Amen, bro.
Let men and women say what they will. This is our declaration. John said, you don't try to tell me he's not real. I put my head on the man's chest.
Amen.
At the Last Supper, as he served dinner, I laid my head on his bosom. Don't tell me he was some apparition. I declare unto you what I've seen, what I've handled, what I've touched, that very person of God, the Word of life.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you something. John makes reference not only to the deity of the Christ in this epistle, and in his gospel, but if you ask me, he's going all the way back to Genesis 1:1. I really think that's what John is going back to. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We read in 1 John 1:1, that which was from the beginning. And all that makes reference to Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God.
Amen.
He's going all the way back. And well, he should. This is who the Word of life is.
Amen.
He is the very God. The very God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. John makes reference not only to in his gospel account and in this epistle, but he makes reference all the way back to Moses' inspired writing in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God did something. In the beginning, God created. It was not that this Word of life was then spoken. It's not that Jesus became the Word there. Rather, in the beginning was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. It's not that God spoke and this Word of life began. Jesus was in the beginning with God and is God. That is His declaration. God was there in the person of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And John will deal with this later on in chapter number 5, I believe it is. He'll take this in hand. But in the beginning of time, God created. I'm sure this has been well taught and well spoken, but Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning God, and it is, and I don't speak Hebrew, but it is Elohim, and that is the plural of God. That speaks of the Trinity of God. In the beginning, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit created, and the worlds were framed. The gospel according to John begins with this declaration. The epistle of John begins with this declaration. Before time, before earth, before the angels, before the planets, God in the person of the Trinity existed. This Word was with God and the Word was God. All right. And what John is saying is that Jesus of Nazareth is the very Word of God.
Amen.
Is the very person of God. And let me tell you something I'm interested in, and I've been tempted to want to just preach a whole sermon on this, but I'm not. I'm just going to mention this and go on. I'm not going to now, at least. I'll mention this. That word is an immensely important word. It is of great value. That word, in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. That word means The Greek is the word logos, or logos, depending on how you pronounce it. And that speaks of the very message. It is that which is delivered, a message that is spoken. It is saying that in the beginning was the message of God. And let me tell you something about what John is going to introduce us to in this, is that the gospel message is the gospel word is a message of life. He is the Word of life. Do you understand? He is the Logos. the Word of life, the Logos of life. He is the message of life. We read God is light. He is the Word of light. He is the Logos of light. He is the message of light. God is love. You follow me? He is the Logos of love. He is the message of love. This is John's declaration. In the beginning, God. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning, that which was from the beginning we have heard. Jesus. This is my declaration. Jesus is the very message of God. He's the Word of God. We have Him before us. We have the written Word. John said, I didn't have all this written Word, but I had the incarnate Word. The Lord Jesus Christ. And I handled Him and I touched Him and I put my head on His chest. My dear friends, great is the mystery of godliness. This word Logos, my goodness, it talks about the eternality of the Lord Jesus Christ, the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, the supremacy, His authority, His creativity, His personality, His voluntary incarnation. All of this and much more is wrapped up in this message of God, this Logos of God. And Colossians 2:9 tells us that in Him, that is in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Amen.
John said, the declaration that I have is that God became flesh and dwelt among us and we beheld His glory.
Amen.
He is the very Word of life. And I'm going to tell you something. What a glorious declaration that this is. As we turn again to our text, we notice that John is saying that this wonderful person whom he speaks of, this Word of life, is He by whom we have eternal life. How can I know that I'm saved? Do you have eternal life? How can I know that I'm trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you embraced the Word of life? Let me tell you something. Jesus, when He came, Jesus was not merely delivering a message. He was the message. You understand what I'm saying? He was not only delivering the Word of God, He was the Word of God. John says, Him we declare unto you. We've heard Him. We've seen Him. We've handled Him. That which was from the beginning was undeniably made manifest unto us. All right. Verse 1, John says He is the Word of life, the Logos of life. He's a divine revelation of who God is. John says as he begins this little epistle, deny it. Reject it, hate it, but you're not going to change it. This is the declaration of the Word of life. This is it. This assurance that John hands us begins with him declaring that He is personally. Notice with me what he says, and I underline these words in my Bible so that they stand out on the page to me. In verse 1 he says, we've heard, we've seen, we've looked upon, we've handled. Verse 2 again, the life is manifested. We've seen it. We bear witness. We show unto you that which was with the Father made manifest. Verse 3, we have seen and heard. That's His declaration. It's there. It happened. I was there. John can say, I was an eyewitness. This is eyewitness testimony. I was there. I saw it. He was real. Not some apparition. Not some ghost. But a real man, but not just a real man, the God-man, the Word of life, the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 1, he says He's the Word of life. And in verse 2, John says He's the eternal life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness to showing you that eternal life. Listen, Jesus of Nazareth did not begin in a manger in Bethlehem. You understand that? He is the eternal Son of God. He is the eternal Word of life. He became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, John said, John 1:14. The Word was made flesh. God set aside the person. Let me say it this way. Jesus set aside the divine prerogative of His eternality by taking on the form of human flesh without ever ceasing to be God. He became like unto us, and I think eventually we'll find out in the book of Ruth that He may be a kinsman, redeemer to us, without ever ceasing to be the eternal God. He is the eternal life.
Amen.
The eternal Word of life. He was with the Father, the Word of life, and in Him is eternal life. John says evidence is given and plenty of that to show a matter of public record. I've got plenty of evidence. I've heard the sweet words of the Savior. I've seen. John can say, listen, lots of people claim this is what he was. Let me tell you, he's more than what people claim. I've seen the dead brought back to life. I've seen the crippled healed, the broken made whole. John can say, I've looked upon his empty tomb. I've seen the nail prints in his hand and the hole in his side where they thrust the spear in. I've handled him. I've handled the very Word of life. While at that Passover meal, John said, I laid my head on his bosom and looked up into his glorious eyes and said, Lord, is it I? Don't tell me he's not real. He's real.
Amen.
John said, I've seen it and I bear witness to it. And I'm going to tell you something about what he is or who he is. He is life. And eternal life. He is the message of life, the logos of life. He is the very being of life. We live in a time and an age when men insist that there are no absolutes. There are no absolute truths. But yet John says, let me give you an absolute truth, an undeniable message. This is what we have seen and heard. This is what we've handled. This is what we've looked upon. The Word of life. That's who Jesus was. And I'm going to tell you something. The rest of this little epistle is all built upon who Jesus is. If Jesus was not who He claimed to be, then the rest of the book means nothing. There's no hope. There's no home in heaven if Jesus was not who He claimed to be. The only way you and I can really have eternal life is if the record that John gives is an accurate record. If the declaration that he makes is a trustworthy declaration. And he gives every evidence possible. All of his senses. Seen, heard, touched, all, he's there. He says in verse 3, this is my testimony. I like what it says. That which we have heard, or that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. Johnson, let me give you my testimony. That's what he was saying in the day. Let me tell you about what he's done for me. What I've seen, what I've heard, let me declare that unto you. Let me tell you something, for anybody who's here and saved, this too is our declaration. You ought to be able to ratify the words of the apostle. What I've seen and what I've heard in my experience with the Lord Jesus Christ tells me that He is the very essence of life.
Amen.
He is eternal life. He is the very person of God. Can you this evening ratify this declaration? Can you agree with it? Yeah, you're right, John. That's exactly who He is. And I'm glad I'm His and He's mine. This is verse 3, that which we have seen. Now, I don't want to get into this word fellowship tonight, but we're going to get into it, Lord willing, next week. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. John says we declare these truths that we can have fellowship one with another. Because of the Lord Jesus Christ. You ever stop and thought about this? Because of the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I have fellowship one with another. Is there any reason for all of us to be gathered in this building tonight outside of the fellowship, the commonality we have in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you understand? What purpose would we have in being together this evening if not that we share the fellowship of the Word of life? That's what brings us together. That's what bonds us together. I look around and I see people that have different interests. You're different ages. You have different things that you enjoy, different things that interest you, different backgrounds, different places in life. There's no reason why this same people would be gathered in the same building at any time on planet Earth, except for we have fellowship in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter to me whether somebody's from Zimbabwe or Perry or anywhere else on the face of God's good earth. If they believe in Him, in this Word of life, they make the same declaration that we do, we can have fellowship one with another. You understand that? We have fellowship one with another. And John says, truly that fellowship is with the Father. And the reason why, and in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the reason why we have fellowship one with another is because we fellowship, we have the same Father.
Amen.
And the same Savior. If you take the totality of the book of John, dwelling within every believer, there's the same life. Amen? The same life. The life of God.
Amen.
The eternal gift of life by the new birth and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I've got to get these three L's in here. The same life. The same light. The same love. All of these are found in 1 John. God is light. God is love. He is called the Word of Life. What a commonality you and I share in having the same life, the same light, the same love through the fellowship of His Son. Whether we're in Georgia in September of 2014 or whether you're in Ephesus in AD 95, barring the language barrier, you understand what I'm saying? Barring the language barrier, you could take saints from Ephesus when John is writing this epistle and drop them right down here in this building and we'd have fellowship. Or from 1,000 years ago, and if the Lord don't come from 500 years from now, you could drop them all in this building and we'd have fellowship one with another. Different cultures, different backgrounds, different ages, different desires. But we have one commonality.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus Christ. And that comes through the Word of life.
Amen.
And this is, and I don't want to preach this tonight, we'll get into it. This is why I get concerned for men and women who claim to be saved but don't have any desire to fellowship one with another. You understand that? Because John says, our fellowship, what did he say? That we may have fellowship one with another, or with us, and our fellowship is with the Father, with His Son.
Amen.
I get greatly concerned about men and women, and I know nobody has to tell me about the allurements of this life and the interest of these things, and even as you sit here now, your mind wanting to run to tonight and the events of tomorrow, I understand all those things, but every child of God should delight in fellowshipping with other children of God. We ought to be two fellows in the same ship. You understand? Fellowship. If we're not in the same ship, I'm headed to Zion. I don't know where you're going. I'm on the old ship Zion. I don't know what ship you're in. If you won't come go with me, you come get in the ark, the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll get us there on the other side. John said, y'all, people claim that he's some ghost, some apparition. I put my hands on eternal life and I fellowship with him. Don't say he's not there. I fellowshiped with him. Don't say it wasn't God. He gave me eternal life and only God can do that. We may live in a different century than other saints, yet we have the same Word of life ruling us. We may live in a different country, yet we can have fellowship with other saints because we have the same eternal life keeping us. We live in a different culture than many other of God's children, yet the same eternal light shines in us. We can have fellowship one with another. Different backgrounds, different interests, all these things, they are set aside because we have fellowship one with another. I don't want to preach this. You know, we have a fellowship hall. We talk about getting together and fellowshipping. Come back next week and we'll talk about doing that with God. And the empty claims that men make. I can't preach that tonight. Our fellowship, what we fellowship one with another, is because of the Word of life. Truly, verse 3, he says, and truly our fellowship. He said, let me declare this Word of life unto you. And our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. And there's in verse 4, he says, and these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. I don't know what it takes to get you to get your cup full, but that ought to do it. You understand? I don't know what it takes to get your cup full, but that ought to do it. Having the knowledge of the eternal life of God, having possession of the eternal life, being able to make the same declaration that John makes. I know him and I've seen him, and don't try to tell me he's not real because he lives within me. I fellowship with others who trust in him, and I fellowship with him. And I'm going to tell you something, child of God, that ought to give you some joy. I write these things, John said unto you, that your joy may be full. That ought to fill your cup of joy up. Fellowshipping, I tell you something, one of the great things about having meetings and conferences is the preaching of the Word, but then that fellowship means a lot too, doesn't it?
Amen.
Communing one with another and spending more time in communion with God. Common union, fellowshipping. And that'll fill up your cup. That's why meetings are good, conferences are good. You get around and you're surrounded by others who share that same desire to adore that eternal Word of life.
Amen.
I remember, and I'm going to quit here in a little bit, but I remember we were at a conference one time several years ago, and we were all packed in this one building, and we're all there together and just having a great time, and I had to leave to go out and buy something for the conference. And it was almost like I stepped into another world when I stepped out of that conference, because I'd been surrounded by 150 people that I could fellowship with. And not saying every one of them saved, but the majority of them were. You didn't have to worry about language. You didn't have to worry about filth and nasty. You didn't have to worry about it. Then I had to step out in the real world. And it was like, I mean, it's like, like running head first into a billboard and slapping me.
Amen.
We ought to share such a commonality in the Lord Jesus Christ that we can gather together and escape from the rudiments of this world.
Amen.
From the garbage and the filth of this world, and fellowship one with another, and truly our fellowship is with God. And the doing of that should fill up your cup of joy.
Amen.
Maybe some people don't have any joy in their life because they're not fellowshipping with one another and with God.
Amen.
That's getting into next week. This is God, the intent of John as he writes, to fill your being with joy. I'm happy, so happy. Are you? You know, happiness can run away, but joy will stay. Happiness is based on emotion. Joy is based on that spiritual state and fellowship with God. I write this unto you that your joy can be full. Hey, let me tell you something. That ought to fill your joy up. He's mine. I'm his. I've got eternal life. Nobody can take it. Who wouldn't want this? This is the message. In verse 5, he says, this is the message. And I'm just going to bring this to a close. But in verse 5, this is the message. This is the word of the word. This then is the message which we have heard of him. Can I say it this way? This is the message that the message spake. You understand what I'm saying? This is the Logos that the Logos spake. This is the Word that the Word spake. This is what Christ did. This is what Christ spoke. This is what I'm declaring unto you. That in Him is life. Light. love. John declares God is light. Man, that's a sermon all in and of itself. God is light. He's already said Christ is the Word of life, and then he's going to say God is light, and then in a little bit he's going to say God is love. Do you realize the gospel message is the message of life? People think you old bunch of old gnarly-nosed Christians don't have nothing. I'm going to tell you, we have the message of life.
Amen.
Nobody else has the message of life. We have the message of light. No one else has the message of life. We have the message of love.
Amen.
Greater love hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus said, you are my friends. That's a wonderful declaration, isn't it? This is who John says, I put my everything in.
Amen.
And this great message given by the messenger, the word given by the word, God is life, light, love.
Amen.
In my own experience, I can say what a joy it is to have fellowship with Him.
Amen.
And with you. Amen. I didn't know you. You understand that? And you didn't know me just a little while ago. But we had one thing in common. I was going to try to say something cute, but I'll just say, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen, brother.
We have that in common. And that's enough to fellowship with.
Amen.
And let me tell you something. I'm going to close with this. Though my natural eyes haven't seen Him, and though my natural hands haven't handled Him, and though my natural ears haven't heard Him, yet I can do just what John did. Here's the message that I declare unto you.
Amen.
He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. I'm going to turn. You turn with me, and I'm closing with this. In John chapter number 20. In John 20, we're going to close with this. All that was said about Him by John and his glorious declaration is true. And as a matter of fact, the half hadn't been told. Remember when the Queen of Sheba came to Solomon to try or prove him with hard questions? She got ready to take off and leave, and she couldn't. I mean, she's just beside herself. She said, everything I've been told about you is true, and the half hadn't even been told.
Right.
And that's how it is with the Lord Jesus Christ. The half had never been told about how gloriously light and gloriously love and glorious life that there is in Him.
Amen.
Men have been standing up and opening up this book for years and preaching this book and teaching this book for thousands of years, and the half's never been told of what a wonderful life and a wonderful light and a wonderful love He is.
Amen.
John 20, verse 25. You know what's happening? Jesus appeared to the disciples. Thomas wasn't there. See what happens when you miss church? You miss something. Thomas wasn't there. But a week later, the Lord shows back up. And in John 20, verse 25, the other disciples therefore said unto Him, we have seen the Lord. But He said unto them, except I shall see in His hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into His side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, and that just means the next Lord's Day.
Amen.
And after 8 days again, His disciples were with Him and Thomas with Him. Thomas showed up for church this week. And then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst of them and said, peace be unto you. Then saith He to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing.
Amen.
Thomas answered and said unto Him, my Lord and my God. Now notice what Jesus said in verse 29. John 20, 29, Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed.
Amen.
That's you and me. That's you and I. The natural eyes never seen. John said, I saw it. This natural eye has never seen Him, but I believe. Natural ears, I've never heard Him, but I believe. Natural hands, I've never handled Him, but I believe. And blessed are they that have not seen and believe. And I'd like this, and if you're still there in John 20, verse 30, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written. You remember this?
Amen.
John 20, 31, but these are written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name.
Amen.
So I ask you something this evening. 56 delegates Eventually, it didn't all happen on July 4th, but 1776, eventually 56 delegates signed their name to that Declaration of Independence. Could you sign your name to this Declaration of the Word of Life? Could you sign your name to it and say, I believe everything's on that page. That's it. Could you sign your name on there? I believe. All my heart, all my life, all my being, I believe this Declaration of the Word of Life, the Lord Jesus Christ.